Hear News Talk 1590 KVTA Ventura.
The following is a paid program. Gold Coast Broadcasting is not responsible for its content.
Tom Spence receives additional compensation for his participation during this paid program.
It's time now for Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Now, here's your host, Colin Fluxman.
Hello again, and welcome to our weekly divorce talk show, where our panel of experts brings you a wealth of information to help you through your divorce. Lisa Zonder is our divorce attorney, and Jerry Cohn, our financial guru. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Jerry.
Hi there. Hi, Colin.
Welcome to the show again. Please feel free to call us on 805-650-1590. That's 805-650-1590, or email Lisa at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com right now. This week's show is brought to you by Wagner Financial for that one-on-one personalized financial attention.
Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760, or log on to wagnerfinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA.
Steve Wagner is our special guest today. Welcome, Steve.
Welcome. Thank you, Colin.
And thank you very much for taking the time out to be with us today.
My pleasure.
Please tell us a little about yourself and your firm, Wagner Financial.
Well, Wagner Financial, we've been around since 1993. I'm a certified financial planner since 1989. And we've built a practice here in the Ventura County area. We work with individuals and businesses, as well as obviously folks that have gone through a divorce, and helping them understand and make good decisions with their financial assets.
So what is the most important advice you can give to a newly divorced person?
I think the most important thing is to slow down. Get the advice of a professional. You know, when you're in a divorce situation, you may be happy, you may be sad. Regardless of the case, you're going through emotions. And money and emotion have never mixed very, very well. So people, when you're emotional, tend to make bad decisions about their investments, their money, other ideas, and other situations that come up in life with regard to that. So it's very important to slow down, think, get the advice of a professional, and then move forward with a plan.
When you say slow down, is there a time period that you give yourself to slow down? A couple of weeks?
I certainly think it could be a few weeks or even a couple of months to lay the groundwork for a plan that makes sense for you as an individual.
Now, it's almost like winning the lottery. You don't go and spend it immediately. Wait a month or two before you decide what to do, right? That's
an excellent parallel example.
What are some of the more common mistakes people make about their finances after a divorce, apart from jumping into it head first?
Well, I think the mistakes that they make is, of course, as you mentioned, they jump into it, and they may take money out of things that are taxable and not realize it, for example. Very often in a divorce situation, the female didn't manage the money. The husband managed the money, and now all of a sudden she has this pot of money, and she makes a rash decision. She makes a mistake that could cost her tax dollars.
Sharon, you had a question for Steve?
Actually, I did, Steve. I'm Lisa's paralegal, and one of our clients actually asked me a question regarding an IRA. She recently divorced. She left her company, so she had some 401k money that she rolled over and put it into an IRA, because she's no longer with a company. So she just has a regular IRA, and every month she has a stop order on her account putting money into that IRA.
Wow.
So she asked us for financial advice, which we don't give, but you would be the expert. Is that the right thing for her to do, or is there something else she should be doing?
That's a great question, and it is the wrong thing for her to do generally. You have an IRA or a 401k that all that money went in pre-tax, so it's all going to come out taxable, the original investment as well as the earnings. Now you're putting after-tax dollars, and you complicate the situation dramatically. So definitely she should, number one, stop putting that money in, and number two, call a professional and get some advice.
Okay, and the money that's in there right now, if she were to pull it out, would she be taxed on the whole lot, or would she have to differentiate between what is pre-tax and post-tax?
Yeah, indeed. She would have to differentiate, and that requires paperwork, and if she's audited by the IRS, it's just an extra layer of costs for her to have her accountant prove that all of this money isn't taxable.
Okay, well, she'll be calling you next week. Thank you, Steve.
You're very, very welcome.
Steve, what kinds of things are different about retirement planning for a divorced person?
Well, I think one of the most important things that's different is that now they're planning for one as opposed for two. And again, it goes back to your last question. Very often, one of the divorced spouses didn't handle the money. And so they never really had an idea of how to plan for retirement. They maybe stayed completely out of the situation. Now they need to be educated about what it takes. You know, how much money should they be putting away on a monthly basis? What does it need to earn? What do they need to live on when they get out to retirement? What are their sources of retirement going to be? Social Security, pension, and then their investment portfolio. So those are things that are important.
So there's a lot of planning to be done, right? A lot of ways and means of figuring out how you're going to spend that money and use that money wisely.
Absolutely, there is, yes.
We're discussing financial planning for people going through or who are already divorced. And here's how to ask your question. Call us on 805-650-1590 or email Lisa at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. That's Lisa at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. Well, where there's money, there's dirty tricks. And Lisa, my question to you is, as a divorce attorney, you must have seen your fair share of dirty tricks that spouses play on each other.
I have, Colin. I've seen and heard war stories, and it's not unusual for divorce to bring out the absolute worst in one or both of the spouses. And two people who at one time may have been best friends, you know, and loved each other quickly become bitter and mortal enemies. So the ideal way for them to settle their divorce issues is with the assistance of the divorce professionals. And we've talked about this before, usually in a collaborative environment or mediated environment, who are able to create a safe place for the clients to be able to focus on their families and to create workable solutions for them in a mature and respectful manner. And that's actually part of the reason why I chose to be a mediator and a collaborative divorce peacemaker as opposed to, you know, adversarial for the most part in my career at this point. You know, my eyes are really tired and weary at this point in terms of witnessing the damage of the clients who are pitted against each other in an adversarial environment. And to me, I see a better way to do things. So even though it's highly recommended that you shun all of the divorce tricks that you've asked me about and the unethical tactics, it does happen on a daily basis, to my dismay, and I am in the court, probably the courthouse about once a week. Clients and their lawyers have learned to use the family laws to their advantage, and sometimes they use the divorce secrets, tactics, and strategies in a way that's far from fair. And I just wanted to point out quickly that financial deception isn't occurring just in married couples who are going through a divorce. It's also happening in general, and I just want to tell you about a little survey I found.
Yes.
There's a survey from the National Endowment of Financial Education about those who committed a financial deception, and it says that nearly 58% of adults who were surveyed, and I think there were about 2,000 in the study, said they hid cash from their partner or spouse. So imagine if that's in, you know, an intact relationship, imagine what's going on with divorcing clients.
So it's all a matter of trust, really. This is what it is. You either trust them or you don't, and if you don't, then there's going to be a lot of stuff hidden and not divulged, right?
Well, yeah, people are either trustworthy or not, whether they're in a good marriage or in a divorcing
situation. Can you name a few examples of the tactics and tricks people have used and continue to use? And Steve, I'm going to put that to you as well. Perhaps you could come up with from the top of your head.
I can.
go ahead, Lisa.
I'm sure we both can. Probably everyone in the room can.
Yes, and Jerry too.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
We've seen examples of one of the spouses working off the books for cash, claiming she has no income on our financial form that's filed with the court, the income and expense form. And the goal, obviously, is to get higher support. So that's one manipulation. A guy can claim, husband, that he's operating a business that has been, you know, earning millions, and suddenly there's no money there. And gosh, how'd that happen? And, you know, he decides to manipulate the business books. When I use husband or wife here, they're interchangeable, just for the record. I don't mean to be gender specific here. But other cases we've seen where client or friend of a relative or a relative will invoice the specific spouse looking to commit some manipulative tactic and say, you know, that there's some debt owed. It's a non-existent debt, but it's for their business, supposedly. And after the divorce settlement is completed, the friend or the relative then pays back the money so that, you know, they'll even do that with IRS tax refunds. They'll overpay the government and then get a refund after the divorce settlement. So so many things that we've seen, faking medical conditions that prevent people from going to work, apparently, or going back to work. Sometimes they can find sympathetic doctors who will write up a report for them and support the claims with medical reports. And one thing I can think of, too, and Sharon probably also has some examples, but one party who wants the family home sold, so they drain the joint bank accounts and make it almost impossible for the bills to get paid, especially the mortgage.
Steve, you were nodding your head throughout everything that Lisa was saying. So obviously, well, you've had your own experiences.
Indeed, and I really can't add much. Lisa went through it very, very nicely. But it kind of reminds me of a real-life War of the Roses that occurred with a client of mine. And he had his own business, and he was trying to misrepresent the value of the business, which Lisa alluded to in her comments. That often happens. And you know, the wife got wind of it, and so she went to his office, and which was on their property. It was a separate dwelling on their property, and she smashed all of the windows in the office, went in, got his hard drive, and gave that to her attorney.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
that helped protect her. So, yeah, dirty tricks, it's usually not worth it, by the way. Everything is traceable and findable.
Of course not.
Yes.
Jerry, would you like to add something to that? I'm sure you've had your fair share of witnessing and seeing dirty tricks in your practice.
Yeah, we do see these quite often from one party to the other, and it's not gender specific. But actually, I'd like to go back to something Steve brought up, because it's something I see a lot, and I think the more our clients could understand somehow this works, they could be better off. I noticed a lot during the divorce that one or the other doesn't understand what they're really getting. And what you mentioned earlier about, you know, the mistakes you see after, I feel the earlier they bring in a financial planner during the process rather than waiting until after, and thought maybe you want to comment on that and what's the best way to bring you in and what the value you could add, instead of waiting until it happens already, it's too late to go back and say, oh, you should have taken the other one.
Yeah, exactly. Very often a financial advisor, and especially if there's a divorce situation where there is some amicability, and I've had a couple of those where we are actually able to agree on the spouse will take this, one spouse will take these assets, another spouse will take these assets, and as long as it's equal, it can prevent a lot of problems. But you're absolutely right, Jerry. The earlier that a financial professional is part of the picture, along with the attorney, obviously, and the accountant, it just makes sense for all involved. And, you know, if you can get through the divorce with education and a roadmap in each of the areas, then you come out of the divorce as strong as humanly possible, and that's the way you want to start the rest of your life.
I have an interesting email for you, which I'll put to you in just a moment. And if you have questions on any divorce-related issue, please call 805-650-1590. And please remember, the advice given by our panel is not intended as legal or other professional advice. For that, you need to set up a private consultation with a reputable professional.
Are you and your spouse at the stage in your life where it's time to move on? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Attorney Lisa Zonder can help you through this process, providing a number of legal options, like traditional court divorce and out-of-court options such as mediation and collaborative divorce. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com, zonderfamilylaw.com.
I was impressed with Lisa Zonder's knowledge and professionalism, and I'm grateful for her affable attitude through the process. I'm happy with the final product.
Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Mention you heard it on the radio, and your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. Lisa Zonder at 805-777-7740, or email lisa@zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura and surrounding areas. Need a lawyer? The Ventura County Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service is a state bar certified referral service dedicated to finding you the right lawyer. The County Bar Association is a nonprofit corporation providing this referral program as a public service, which meets the American Bar Association standards. If you need legal help, the LRIS can place you in touch with a qualified lawyer who will assist you with your problem for a reasonable fee of $35 for a 30-minute consultation. Call the experienced professional staff at the County Bar Association at 805-650-7599, 805-650-7599, or email bar@vcba.org. The right call for the right lawyer. The Lawyer Referral and Information Service. 805-650-7599.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonder Style on AM 1590 KBTA. I'm Colin Flaxman. We're on the air each Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. If you have a question for any one of our guests on any divorce-related issue, whether it is finance or any legal aspect, please call us on 805-650-1590. 805-650-1590, or email us at lisa@divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. And remember to check us out at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com, where you can listen to past shows in full if you've missed them, and like us on Facebook as well at Divorce Lisa Zonder Style. This week, Steve Wagner is discussing the best way to handle your finances after your divorce. Steve, I have an email here, as I mentioned just before the break, from Bill in Moore Park. He writes, it's quite a long email, so please bear with me. Mm-hmm. I was divorced 2 years ago, and my ex-wife was recently diagnosed with schizophrenia. She became unemployed and filed a disability claim with Social Security, which was denied. She sued and won her case. Because of our minor children, who are 11 and 13, after I look after them, I received a check for $22,000 paid retroactively. I can't afford to lose this money. I have a fixed income. How best should I invest the money, and what are the tax implications?
Well, the key point that Bill makes in his question is that he can't afford to lose this money. And he also mentioned that he has children. So clearly he's going to use this money for the children as they grow up and maybe even go to college. So very important that he not invest this in the stock market or probably even in the bond market. Those are non-guaranteed investments. They can go up a lot, but they can also go down a lot. So in Bill's case, because he doesn't want to lose money, and by his own words, he wants to protect it, he'll have to invest it in a savings account paying very little interest, or a CD paying maybe 1% interest. But that's the price tag for his guarantees and his peace of mind of being able to sleep well at night. Now, as far as the tax implications go, that'd be the other side of the coin, the silver lining, because there's very little return. There will be very little tax implication.
Right. What are some of the things divorced people overlook with regard to company retirement plans?
Well, one of the things that they overlook is in a newly divorced situation, you've got a company retirement plan. You likely had your ex-spouse, now ex-spouse, as the beneficiary of that company benefit plan. Very important that you take the opportunity now to change that beneficiary designation, because if you don't and you die, guess who gets the money?
Right.
Yes.
Steve, I have a question based on what Jerry said earlier. It's very important to get a financial planner in. I have some clients who I could see would need a financial planner, but they don't even know what kind of money they're going to be getting. And the concern is, can I afford a financial planner? Why should I get a financial planner? I don't even know if I'm going to have enough money.
Well, that's a very common fear, and certainly in a divorce situation, they feel like they're paying so many people already. How can I afford to pay another person? That's really your question, isn't it?
Right.
The answer is that most, if not all, financial advisors work on a fee basis, so they're getting a percentage, a very small percentage of assets they may manage. But even before that, they'll generally work on an hourly basis, which is nominal hourly fee. And most of us, including our office, will give a no-fee first initial consultation. So that gives you, as the individual, the opportunity to come in and feel free to ask questions and create some aura of trust and hopefully calm you down as far as it's not going to cost a lot of money to work with this person.
Great. That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Jerry, you had something to add to that?
Yeah, I actually wanted to go back to the retirement plan question that Steve addressed. I find that also during the divorce process, there's a lot of confusion with retirement plans. And as Steve has mentioned, there's many different types of plans. Some are taxed differently. Some give you a future benefit. You have to wait if it's the ex-spouse till that spouse retires. I find that, the more you look at all the financial planning aspects before, during, and after the divorce, while you're in the divorce is important. I've seen some, as I'm sure Steve has, some really unfortunate situations because someone didn't understand what they were asking for. I want his pension, or I want this, and it turns out maybe you don't. Let's take a look at what your long-term needs are. So I think the retirement has a lot of impact on people after the fact, but we need to address it before you get after the fact.
Lisa, coming back to you, dirty tricks regarding child custody. Would you like to address that, please?
Sure, absolutely. In the custody realm, it's not uncommon to see dirty tricks, including false allegations about abuse or assault, such as, I've seen these in my practice, she waved a knife at me, he blocked my way, I was on the computer, he didn't let me go past him to get to the door. And these are, brought in the context of restraining order hearings. And so the accused spouse sometimes is forced to leave the home on an emergency basis. They'll get ushered out with the sheriffs. So the false accusations can have a pretty dramatic impact on how child custody is decided and even on how the case gets started. Other things we've seen in the custody realm in court proceedings, is like, for example, a spouse asking for primary or sole custody of children just to jockey for position, hoping the other party, out of fear of losing the kids altogether, is going to, give up some entitlement or just, move their position along a little bit in exchange for some more favorable custody arrangement. We've seen that happen, as well as people moving out of state with the child or children, and they can resettle for 6 months and create another state as the home state for jurisdictional purposes, and actually just move the case right out of California to Arizona or somewhere else. The party doesn't even see it happening. It's like, hey, we're going on vacation, and the next thing they know, we live here and we're filing for divorce and I'm asking for custody of the children in Arizona. Good luck, come and catch me. We've seen all kinds of horrible stuff, and that using the kids as a bargaining chip or a hostage, in a game situation. Again, we think all these things are deplorable, and it's unfortunate when we see them. And we've seen a lot of attorneys abuse process as well in child custody by giving ex parte notice in court saying, here it is 10 a.m. the morning before, be in court tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning. I'm going in on some purported emergency that, isn't really an emergency from the court's perspective.
Please explain ex parte. What does that mean?
It's just, it's basically without a full notice. And so what you're doing is normally you would get 19 court days for a hearing. But if you go in on an ex parte basis, normally you give notice the day before. And so you've got like less than 24 hours to appear in the courthouse.
Now, we've been discussing the dirty tricks between husband and wife or divorcing spouses. What about attorneys and accountants? You're all professionals. I'm not for one moment suggesting that you get up to any dirty tricks. Steve, would you like to address that?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, the great thing about our community is that we are vastly professional for the most part. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not dirty tricks and unintentional or intentional hiding of things. But in my business, I very rarely work with other advisors generally, and I've never really had a situation where there was a dirty trick played. But then again, I'm just a country financial planner. I'm not a lawyer.
But you're aware. You are aware of some of the tricks, some of the dirty
Absolutely.
Financial
and
tricks.
And it does happen. Right. And they do happen. The biggest thing is that there are an intentional withholding of financial documents, the shielding of assets. I've actually had clients ask me, can I, for example, sign this money over to my brother, and so that it's out of my name.
Or transfer interest in
transfer
property,
interest.
Whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. And mm-hmm. So those are the dirty tricks that we see.
Right. Yeah. Lisa, what about attorneys?
Well, I don't know. I see it every day. It's just kind of, I don't know where to start. Let's see. One thing that I've seen attorneys do, or actually, let's say I've seen clients do before the case even gets underway, is that they try to conflict out the attorneys. And sometimes attorneys will even advise their clients to do this. The way that game works is that what you do is you call all the attorneys and you give enough confidential information about the case so that the other spouse basically can't go and see them. Mm-hmm. And so that if you're the husband doing that dirty trick and wife is going to try to find a top gun attorney in town and may not have access to too many people because they've already been conflicted out. So that's something that I've seen.
So what does a divorcing spouse do? What can he or she do if he or she discovers that the attorney is up to these dirty tricks?
Well, you can counter that in a lot of different ways. First of all, you can do some planning and try calling yourself, and finding attorneys as soon as you are thinking right. about divorce. You can go slightly out of the county. But you can also try and get a conflict waived and if you have a problem and it's a really small county. So there are always countermeasures for every tactic that you
right,
find.
Right.
But attorneys themselves also will do a lot of things in the courthouse, like delaying and stalling cases and
right.
just kind of starving out the other side, hoping that if they, you know, make them spend enough money, they won't have any money to be able to defend themselves and so on. So there are lots of dirty tricks, unfortunately.
I'm sure. Steve, let's get back to that email. The Bill, I think it was, who mentioned Social Security. So how does divorce affect Social Security benefits? Can we discuss that?
Well, it's important to recognize that if you've been married at least 10 years and you divorce, you are eligible for your spouse's Social Security benefit. That's a very important thing to remember. There are some rules. You must be unmarried. You've got to be at least age 62. And your spouse's Social Security benefit must be a greater number than what your own would be. But if all of those things come into play, then you qualify for his or her, your ex-spouse's benefit mm-hmm. at that point in time.
Right. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, brought to you this week by Wagner Financial for that one-on-one personalized financial attention.
Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760 or log on to wagnerfinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA.
If you have a question for Steve Wagner or a legal question for Lisa or any other financial question, we have financial experts, legal experts, paralegals. We have everything under the sun here in the show today. So please feel free to call 805-650-1590. That's 805-650-1590. Or if you have access to email, we have email accessibility here in the studio. The email address is lisa@divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. Jerry, can you discuss some of the financial mistakes when a divorce gets underway?
Yeah, I think a lot of individuals don't realize how important it is to start off on the right path. And a lot of the things you do initially, either if you don't do it right or a comprehensive job at it, you're going to either lose something or pay more later. So I always try to encourage the attorneys, and if I'm working with one party or both, if it happens to be cooperative, to spend the time up front to make sure we gathered all the information. A lot of what we've been talking about today with IRA plans or retirement plans and some of the mistakes or bad results we hear, it's usually because either someone didn't identify something or misidentified it or didn't know about it. So I put a lot of weight into how we start out initially, knowing what you have. It's surprising that, bright educated people with sometimes a fair amount of wealth don't really even understand what their portfolio is or what their assets are. And you find them arguing over something that you probably don't really want this. It's better if you don't. So a lot of that we can get identified up front. There's also a lot of misconceptions, and the attorneys straighten this out pretty quickly, but I find that very few people understand the difference between community and separate property, and sometimes when it's kind of mixed together in some of each. And I know the average person doesn't go to law school and maybe doesn't take a class on it, but there's so many misconceptions with that. And again, the earlier we get that identified, someone's going along thinking this is all mine, and the other's thinking it's half and half, and they don't know that till the end, you're going to get something, someone rather angry to say, someone should have told me this earlier.
Yeah, right. We have a caller on the line, Tom. Carla is on the line. Hi, Carla.
Hi, hello.
Hi, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, I have a question. I'm live in employment, and I have $5,000 in my retirement for 401k, and I need money to pay my lawyer. I'm a 32 years old. Would I pay taxes and penalty, or should I borrow?
That's a very good question. Thank you for calling in, by the way. You mentioned you had $5,000 in the plan?
Yes.
And do you know what your expenses are for the, what you need to hire the attorney?
Not exactly.
You don't know. Okay. Well, you know, obviously, if you pull the money out, if you pull $5,000 out because you're 32, you're under 59 and a half, there's certain rules there. You'll pay taxes on the amount that you pull out. So you'll pay taxes on $5,000 plus you'll pay an additional 10% penalty tax. So that's a pretty tough one to swallow. However, you can borrow up to 50% of your 401k plan and pay it back over time, generally 5 years. So you would be able to pull out $2,500 without any taxes or any penalties, and I would hope that would be enough to at least get you started there. But those are your choices.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Excellent. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Steve, tagged onto that, should you invest differently now that you're divorced?
Yes.
From what you did before?
Absolutely. You need to look at it. And again, it goes back to before you were one unit, two people, one unit. But two people, as we know, are very opposite. That's why they say opposites attract, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
but then all of a sudden, because they're opposite, one might have been aggressive with their investing style. The other may be conservative with their investing style. So now you've had all these assets come over in a quadro or other investment portfolio that may not be suitable for your investment time horizon and your style of investing. So it's extremely important to look at.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonder Style, AM 1590 KVTA. We are on the air each Saturday at 3 to 4 p.m. If you have questions for any one of our guests, legal or financial, on any divorce-related issue, please call 805-650-1590. Jerry.
Yeah, Steve just brought up an excellent point that I find more people could use help with, and I look at it as more of a budgeting issue. But maybe, Steve, you could address how you could, the role you could play during the divorce. I know it's important for people to come to you after they get the division, but what you just mentioned with maybe someone not doing the right thing with taking money out, how could you help with that?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. You mentioned budgeting as well. So if you're sitting down with someone who's going through a divorce, they're going to be a single person, they're going to have their own budget. So we should really have them thinking about a mock budget, planning what their expenses are going to be going forward. But at the same time, as we talked about the caller who called in, as well as the question about investing differently, they should be learning and understanding what kinds of investments are appropriate for them before the divorce, as you mentioned. Those are really important points. One other real quick thing.
Yes, go ahead.
You had talked about mistakes that they make and planning. You mentioned having your house in order and knowing where everything is. I have a kind of an interesting story.
Please go ahead. Yes.
Several years ago, I had an older lady that had called me up, and I actually had to go over to her house. She was immobile, and she had been divorced. And so one of the first things we always do is we gather information. And, of course, she had her information all over the place. And we got it together, listed everything down as to what she had. And I said, now, do you have anything else? And she says, well, I get dividends from Bank of America. I said, really? I said, what are your dividends? And she told me the amount. And I quickly, in my head, figured out, dividing it into the percentage, what amount she would have. And it was a very large number. And I says, well, I don't see your Bank of America stock anywhere. She says, where do you have it? I said, where do you have it? And she says, well, let me go get it for you. So she went to her bedroom and came out of her bedroom with an old Macy's bag. And in that bag were $600,000 worth of Bank America stock.
Oh, my gosh.
So, again, I mean, it was a nice surprise for her.
Yes.
And for me as well, to help her make more out of that, which we did. But it does go back to Jerry's excellent point that, you know, before and during and even after, knowing where all of your assets are, having an organizer, that's one of the things that we do for our clients when they come in, whether divorced, single, or otherwise. We provide them with something that they can list where everything is, wills, trusts, tax documents, and
that's
investment
very useful.
Statements, et cetera. Those are all very important things.
Yeah.
I want to comment on that
if
possible. You know, one of the things for us as attorneys when clients come through the door oftentimes is we have to have them fill out these mandated court forms for the state of California called income and expense forms and schedule of assets and debt forms. And oftentimes they don't have a folder with all of the organized documentation available. So if you do that for clients, God bless, because I'll tell you something, we really would benefit when our clients come through the door if they had somebody who could help them put that together. And same for the CPAs who act as financial neutrals. Like when Jerry, you can speak to this perhaps, when they gather all of the data for us, as the neutral expert in a case, you know, assembling all of the documentation, it's really helpful if those clients have been working with a financial advisor like Steve, or if they're going to Jerry and they have all of their documentation in order. A lot of times what I love to do is have CPAs who will, you know, bait stamp those for us and organize them in such a way that we can attach them and they're ready for either a trial or a settlement. And we can actually see all of the various assets, and it makes it a lot easier to settle a case that way.
Yeah, we talked about also the cost of not doing it the right way, and that's an excellent point. It makes the process go better. We're identifying more options for them along the way, and that's my biggest frustration when I see that someone, they're resisting the help or one of the parties isn't cooperating to get what we need, and I know we could do a lot better job if we had all that data up front. So I always encourage to spend as much time and push as hard as we can to convince people to, there's a reason we're asking for this. You know, the more you provide, the better we could do for you.
A significant portion of most divorce settlements involve financial issues, especially in today's tough economic times. Jerry Cohen, a regular guest on the show and a divorce financial planning specialist, will help you and your spouse reach a fair and equitable financial settlement. Having the right information now can help you from having to revisit tax and financial issues in the future. Call Jerry Cohen on 805-200-5044, 805-200-5044, or email jcohen@cdfplanning.com. jcohen@cdfplanning.com. Visit the website at californiadivorcefinancialplanning.com for more information.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, AM 1590 KVTA. We're on the air each Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. If you have a question for one of our experts, please call 805-650-1590.
Steve, again, with my clients, they don't have any shopping bags of money or stocks that I know of, but is there any amount that is too small, or do they need a large amount to invest with? Is there a minimum or a maximum?
No. There really is no minimum as far as we're concerned. Most mutual fund companies and investment companies have, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 minimum, so that opens it up for everybody. We're really interested in helping our community, people who want to get advice, should feel comfortable coming into our office. We're fully staffed. We've got myself, one other advisor, and then four support people, all working very hard to make sure that regardless of the size of your assets, you're getting high-quality advice and care and assistance that you deserve and need, particularly at a time when you're going through an emotional period such as divorce.
Great. Thank you.
Now, we mentioned a little earlier, and Lisa was elaborating on divorce dirty tricks. I believe you have a top 10 for us.
Oh.
We're doing a countdown from 10 to 1, so please go ahead.
Good grief, yes, here we go.
You and Sharon have something to talk about as far as the...
So I have to do the legal disclaimer before I start this list. Because I know someone's going to look at me and say, Zonder, what are you doing on air giving people bad ideas? I just want to emphasize before we start that I don't recommend any of the course of action outlined that we're going to talk about. Most of these things are illegal. You can end up getting sanctioned by the judge. You can end up in contempt, losing credibility, looking really bad to the judge. So before we even start this horrible list, just remember there are consequences for all this bad stuff. But anyway, moving a spouse to a different state in order to obtain a more favorable divorce settlement would be number 10 on my list. Number nine would be doing some kind of covert surveillance, that Mission Impossible thing we talked about when we did our wiretapping and that other show with Dr. Dobrin. So covert surveillance of a spouse, if you bug the phone, the car, the office, or you employ a private investigator, those are things that I think you're crossing the line on a lot of those. Number eight is secretly photocopying every scrap of financial information in the house and the office, even though they belong to your spouse or they're private, it's private information on their computer. Number seven would be stashing away as much money as possible to be ready for the rainy day and not disclosing that you've stashed away the money. Number six would be damaging or destruction of the house or some of the valuable contents in the house, particularly those that the spouse wants to keep, knowing that they wanted to keep those and that they were meaningful to that spouse. Sometimes also spending very wildly, angry women or men who go off and just charge up on the credit card. I know I had in one situation a client just bought a BMW out of spite because he was pretty ticked off and knew he was going to be filing for divorce. You'll have the spurned wife running up the credit card and going and feathering her nest, getting ready to furnish a new apartment. Sharon, you want to add some to the list here?
Oh, yes, I have a few to add.
Please go ahead.
If you're a working woman and you're entitled to alimony, but depending on what you earn, that can be reduced. So if you're unemployed and a housewife, you can take a sabbatical stating health reasons. So therefore, your alimony goes up. So your husband or ex-husband, soon-to-be, will have to shell out a whole bunch of alimony. And then Lisa mentioned credit card shopping, also fondly known as payback time. So shop, 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 spend, spend, spend. My favorite. Sitting at home late at night on the internet, perhaps having a glass of wine or several glasses of wine, typing out everything to your friends, what your ex has done, having an affair, not having an affair, what she's doing, and hitting the send button. Big mistake. Do not do that. Okay. The other thing, using your common friends as spies, which reminds me of a show that was on with Sybil Shepherd and Christine Baranski. And they were both divorced, and Christine Baranski was married to Dr. Bob. And she would commandeer Sybil Shepherd at sort of 1 o'clock in the morning, and they would go driving around, and she'd order a big cement truck to go to Dr. Bob's house and drop the cement in his swimming pool.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was very, very funny. It was a great show, but please don't do that.
What was the name of the show?
Sybil.
Sybil, of course. Right. Yes, she's wonderful. A question for you, Steve.
Sure.
You haven't got to number one yet, have you?
No, you can hold us in suspense.
We're going to do that. what number are you up to?
Oh, I don't know. We've lost track.
Two to go. Okay. So hold the top two dirty divorce tricks. Steve,
yes.
How can you protect what you have as a single person, particularly with regard to a quadro or IRA account?
Yeah, this is a good question because, a divorced spouse is going to receive a quadro, which is essentially her or his half of an IRA account. Generally, IRA accounts come from 401k accounts, and they're the largest part of your assets for retirement. So assuming this divorce happens maybe right at retirement or even during retirement, it's extremely important, this being the main income source, that it be protected. So there are financial products out there today that guarantee certain income streams for life so that there's no way you can run out of money no matter what occurs in the financial markets. And, of course, it goes back to the question about how should you invest and making sure that that money is invested per your own emotions, your own risk tolerance, et cetera. So.
Right. Jerry, would you like to add something to that?
Yeah, I go back to, the planning during the divorce process. Steve makes a good point with the quadro and what I see sometimes with multiple accounts that perhaps you could, instead of using a quadro, which there's an expense to on each of the accounts, you could look at the total and try to divide it. So maybe one takes a dollar amount equal to the other and maybe avoid the quadro, which has an expense to it. And also mixing different types of accounts together. Some don't need a quadro. So it's important, again, as we were talking about, upfront identifying what you have and identifying the most cost-effective and tax-effective way to divide it and also invest it in the future.
Gentlemen, if you wouldn't mind addressing the budgeting side of things, because I'm sure that's very, very important when people are of going through a divorce and considering what to do with the money. So perhaps we could look at some of the common financial mistakes as far as budgeting is concerned. Steve, would you like to address that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first of all, not having one. And I would address the fact that maybe one of the spouses always handled all of the money during the marriage. The other spouse didn't. So particularly for that spouse, is it important to learn, you know, budgeting fundamentals and really sit down and make a list on a yellow pad and, you know, list every expense, what the amount is, and if it's something that's affordable or necessary going forward. But that would be really the first primary thing that I would suggest.
And Jerry, some examples in particular about budgeting.
Yeah, unfortunately, a common example is that there's not a budget done until, if someone's not working with a financial planner during the process, they may not get this budget done until after the fact, which is important then. But going back, they were making decisions, and we see this a lot, maybe the emotional side, I want this, and they can't afford this. And the budget, it's not a guarantee, but by both parties looking at their income and expenses and projecting ahead a little bit, what's this going to be like after the divorce? Sometimes it's very clear that someone can't afford the one thing they're really fighting for. And they may still do it, but at least if we could show them that, you know, this is your decision, but you know, you're not going to have enough money to buy food, so maybe you shouldn't fight for that one asset you really want. So the budget, I think, has to start early and has to be actually, you know, adjusted along the way, because at each phase, you know, after the fact and it's divided, may be different than when you're looking at a budget for each person and trying to see what they could afford. One party wanting the house is a very common, what I look at as a budget issue. It's rare that both could afford it. There's times they can. But if the one that can't afford is really pushing for it, I really try to help them see that, you know, let's look into it a little more. It's a good time to bring in the financial planner. What's this going to look like after the divorce if you get the house? So the budgeting is very important all along the way.
So this is obviously where mediation and a collaborative divorce comes into play, right? Instead of fighting about everything, everybody comes together under one roof and one room and with all these experts and tries to mediate this, right?
That's true, Colin. I think especially when it comes to an issue like the house, because that's such an emotional issue, especially for a lot of women, I'll say stereotypically. A lot of women want to stay in the home. It's the biggest fear they have that drives them in the divorce. And it's really helpful when someone can show them logically, show the woman in the divorce case that, you know, logically you can't afford this house, but you can't ignore the emotions in that decision. And so it's really helpful to have people like Steve and like Jerry to be able to address some of that, but also being part of a full team, like when we had Dr. Bhatia on and Marianne Aronson and Teresa Hayes and the therapists we've spoken with. It's really helpful to have their input as well, because sometimes they can tackle the emotional aspect of it. Sometimes decisions aren't being made on a business track or logically. They're being made from an emotional perspective.
Colin, you had a good point about the budgeting. And adding on to what Lisa just said, it's very common when there's younger children that sometimes both, but say one parent, just let's try to, I like to keep the house until the children finish high school or eighth grade or something, which is maybe a good thing. We don't want to change schools. There's been enough changes. But again, I, an accountant, I take it back to the budgeting issue. I certainly encourage that. Anything that's good for the children is a good thing to work on. But let's look at the budget. And it may, in some cases even, which I've seen, both parties could maybe not agree on a lot of things, but they could agree on that. Okay, I do feel it's important for one of us to keep the house. Maybe one can't afford it and one could afford it more, but let's work together on this. And that's another thing the budget could pull out. Okay, if we find a way for one to keep the house and the children until they graduate high school, what are we going to need to do with the other parts of the budget to make it work? And again, it's more of a financial planning issue, but if we could address that during the divorce and something's better for the children, that's usually a win-win for everyone.
You're listening to Divorce Leases on the Style, broadcast each week, 3 to 4 p.m. on AM 1590 KBTA. We still have a few minutes left for you to call 805-650-1590 if you have a question about your divorce. Our regular panelists are Lisa Zonder, divorce lawyer out of Westlake Village, and Jerry Cohen, a divorce CPA, and our special guest today, Steve Wagner of Wagner Financial, right here in Ventura County. Well, we've been holding our breath for the top two, divorce dirty tricks, and Sharon has number two.
Number two, assaulting or stalking your ex-spouse and their new partner. So sitting outside their home watching them, old clothing that was perhaps left behind that had been forgotten in the garage, driving down and throwing it on the front lawn or in public. Just stay away. Don't do that.
Right. And now we're going to get to number one.
Number one?
Number one. Tom has a special fanfare for us. Number one. Right,
so
there we go.
Here we go.
So
number one is, if all else fails, running off with a divorce lawyer. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, and right. It's been known to happen. It certainly gives an unfair advantage with vastly reduced legal fees. And I can recall one case in which the husband began an affair with his divorce lawyer. Having paid out his wife, he then married his well-to-do new love. And in fact, I would also say I recently, and now I'm confessing that I've watched the show, watched an episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And one of them ran off with her divorce lawyer. Well, apparently it's real, isn't it? If it happened on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, it must be.
How effective is that, I wonder? Steve, we have a couple of minutes left. Perhaps if you could just summarize what we've been discussing today, highlights.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. I just had one other point that I wanted to bring out, if
please
possible.
Please do, yes.
You know, we talked a little bit earlier about making sure with company retirement plans that beneficiary designations are corrected after the divorce. But that's not the only beneficiary designation that could be corrected. And again, this is part of people having stuff scattered all over the place, annuities, life insurance policies, individual IRAs, Roth IRAs, all of those contain beneficiary designations that need to be changed from your ex-spouse to your children or whatever going forward. But that's extremely, extremely important.
Isn't that so, too, on your bank accounts?
Bank accounts, all of that. I mean, it's just amazing the work that needs to be done. But when it's done, it's done. And, you know, beneficiary designations are the strongest. And I just give you a story from some time ago. I was at a seminar on this, and the leader of the seminar was talking about a man who, you know, got divorced, and his ex-wife obviously was left on as beneficiary, married his new wife, married for 30 years, and he dies, and the original ex-wife, because the beneficiary designation was there in print, was given the money. As much as the new wife, who probably deserved the money, fought it in court, beneficiary designations are the most ironclad. So extremely important not to mess that up, not to overlook those.
And if you could go over some of the highlights of what we discussed today.
Sure. Well, I think, it comes down to planning. You know, Jerry and both Lisa and Jerry both talked about it. And you know, it's getting the team of professionals together and talking to each professional before the divorce is final. And certainly as it relates to my expertise, being able to meet with an individual who's contemplating a divorce or going to the divorce before they get their large settlements so that they can understand what their goals are, what their new budget's going to be, what kind of an investor they need to be in order to plan properly for this newfound asset, so that they can have peace of mind and really get on with their new life in the best way possible.
So that basically sums up what we've been talking about today.
That sums it up, and our group, Wagner Financial, again, we're well-staffed. We've served our community for many, many, many years. But I implore, whether you call us or any other financial professional, please do it. It's extremely important. Mistakes that are made cannot be reversed very often.
This week's edition of Divorce Leases Under Style has been brought to you by Wagner Financial for that one-on-one personalized financial attention.
Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760 or log on to wagnerfinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA.
Again, Steve Wagner here with Wagner Financial. We've had many years of experience in dealing with individuals and couples, and unfortunately, in our practice, we've had couples divorce, and I've had to work with each one of them. And I would say, just as a closing comment with regard to making it all possible, as a playoff of what Jerry mentioned earlier, and that is try to be amicable. Try to be as unemotional about this as possible. Try to do things for the good of your children.
Easy to say, right?
Easy to say, hard to do. But if you put other people before you, and I know that's kind of an oxymoron in a divorce situation sometimes, but if you put your children, if you put your family, and if you try to put the human interests of each other in the first place here, you can both get through this, spending less money on attorneys and accountants and financial planners, and have more for yourself, for your own future, again, as you both embark on your new life and create the best possible environment you can.
You mentioned something really very important at the beginning of the show about taking a breath, stepping back and taking your time to think about all this before you just dive in.
Yes.
Headlong.
Indeed, like a good chess player, you contemplate your moves, you look ahead, you have a plan, and then once you have a plan, you work your plan.
You've been listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, brought to you this week by Wagner Financial for that personalized financial attention. Thanks again, Steve. Really appreciate your being here today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Lisa and Sharon, thank you very much again for
thank
your
you.
Wonderful input
thank
and
you.
The top 10 countdown. And Jerry and Tom, thank you very much. And we'll be back with you again next Saturday at the same time. I'm Colin Fluxman.
Tune in every Saturday at 3 p.m. for Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle.
This radio programming is not intended to encourage anyone to seek a divorce. The producers assume that callers are seeking basic information. The radio program is intended to be an informational format and does not constitute legal advice. Anyone with legal, mental health, financial, or other professional questions is directed to retain a competent professional after carefully interviewing qualified professionals. A guest appearance by a particular panelist does not constitute a specific recommendation by the producers as to the expertise of that professional, nor does that panelist's views necessarily reflect the views of the producer.